felt that I can't read without being moved to tears. It's Fox's Book of Martyrs, and it details the faithfulness of men and women who, over the centuries, valued their relationship with Christ more than their mortal lives. This is Erwin Lutzer, and tonight on Songs in the Night, I'd like you to meet some martyrs, and also a godly man who made the mistake of approving their martyrdom.
Good evening, everyone. From historic Moody Church in the heart of Chicago comes Songs in the Night with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, soloist Glenn Jorian, the King's Carolers, and organist John Innes. This is Songs in the Night.
Sorrows may come.
Here's Dr. Lutzer.
Thanks, Ted, and good evening to you, my friends. Believing in Jesus Christ has sometimes been costly. Michael and Margarita Sattler were out of step with their times. Michael had taken a vow of celibacy, but after studying the New Testament, he found no reason to live up to this original commitment. So he married, and he joined a group called the Anabaptists. Now that prefix, Anna, means again. This was a group of rebaptizers who rejected infant baptism. They believed that they should be baptized as adults upon profession of faith. Michael met with a small group of like-minded Anabaptists. But while walking through the forest on May 17, 1526, he was captured and brought to trial. Specifically, he was charged with leaving the monastery and marrying, also violating the Eucharist, baptism, the veneration of saints, and so forth. In his defense, he said that he had done nothing contrary to the Bible, and that he'd be willing to recant if he could be proven wrong. His request for a debate was denied. And an hour and a half later, the judges returned with this sentence. Michael Sattler shall be committed to the hangman, who shall take him to the square and there first cut out his tongue. Then he shall chain him to a wagon, tear his body twice with hot tongs, and five times more before the gate, then burn his body to powder as an arch heretic. Before his executioners, Michael prayed, Almighty eternal God, thou art the way and the truth. Because I have not been shown to be in error, I will with thy help on this day testify to the truth and seal it with my blood. As he was thrown to the fire and the ropes on his hands burned through, the dying man raised his hands in a sign of triumph and prayed, Father, I commend my spirit into thy hands. Then three more of his friends were burned. His wife was present and pressed to recant, but because she didn't, she was drowned 8 days later. Well, my friend, we can enjoy the freedoms that we have today, but let us never forget that many people, many, have laid down their lives for the gospel.
The Son of God rides out to war, the ancient foe.
Yes, I think we have to ask who does follow them today. I've often wondered, perhaps you have also, as to whether or not we would have the strength to die for our faith if that's really what it came down to. Well, there are multitudes in heaven today, such as Michael and Margarita Sattler, and they certainly will receive the martyr's crown. But what crime had this couple committed that caused them to deserve this fate? Why did leaving the church and practicing adult baptism carry with it the sentence of death? Why were whole villages of Anabaptists in Europe slaughtered? The answer to this mystery is found in a study of the relationship of the church and the state. Throughout history, religion and the state have usually been one and the same. That's why those who didn't bow down before the images in ancient Babylon, well, you remember, they were thrown into the lake of fire. To violate the gods of Babylon was to discredit Babylon's political system. Loyalty to religion was considered a test of loyalty to the state. Now, what was true in paganism was also true in Judaism. Recall that in the Old Testament, God instructed that heretics should be burned, and those who committed overt sins such as adultery and rebellion should be stoned. The death penalty was enacted for those who did not follow the law of God. Now the same unity of state and religion took place in ancient Rome. Everybody was to say, Caesar is Lord. Once again, loyalty to Rome's religion was interpreted as loyalty to the state. As we know, persecution came to the Christians during the heyday of the Roman Empire. The believers simply could not convince the Roman authorities that it was possible to be a good Roman citizen and a Christian too. As persecution continued, some within the church suggested that if Christians were in charge of the state, they could use force to promote Christianity rather than paganism. And one day, the improbable happened. An emperor was converted to Christianity. He believed that Christ had helped him win the battle for Rome and that the Christian religion should be used to unite the empire. Soon after Constantine's conversion and his ascendancy to the role of emperor, he convened a council to discuss the deity of Christ. It's not that he was interested in religion himself, but he believed that a unified Christianity would bring about a unified empire. Augustine, that great theologian and philosopher, said that God had given two swords to the church, the sword of the Word of God, but also a sword of steel by which Christianity would be advanced. Well, now the tables were turned. The pagans were persecuted by the Christians because the Christians were in power. Well, what does all this have to do with reformers? Well, let's remember that men like Luther and Zwingli and Calvin lived in a day when it was believed that the state existed to enforce the will of the church. They taught that the church should be regional, embracing certain geographical borders. Infant baptism was proof, if proof were needed, that a child was not merely born as a citizen of the Holy Roman Empire, but he was born a Christian as well. You see, the Anabaptists who rebaptized, they were persecuted because they believed that the church was a distinct group called by God, a group called out from the world. They were rebaptized as adults because they wanted to affirm that no one was a Christian simply because he or she was, quote, christened as a baby. It was this that caused them to be outcasts, and many of them were put to death.
Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? And shall I fear to own his cause, or blush to speak his name? Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? Are there no foes for me to face? Must I not stem the flood? Is this vile world a friend to grace, to help me on to God? Sure, I must fight if I would reign, increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, pain, supported by thy word.
We can certainly be grateful for all the soldiers of the cross that have lived throughout the centuries. You know, the Anabaptists, they weren't the first people to suggest that the church should be pure, distinct from the world. In the 4th century, the Donatists strongly opposed the idea that the church should embrace everyone. They insisted that when Christianity became the official religion of the Roman Empire, that nothing really had changed. When the pagans were in charge, they persecuted the true Christians. But now that the official Constantinian Church was in charge, they also persecuted the true Christians. So many believers were persecuted, defamed, and put to death. Despite the fact that Zwingli, in Switzerland, was a great man of God in Zurich, he followed the direction that was given to him by the city council, which notified the public on January 17, 1525, that all parents had to have their children baptized or be banished. Later, the Edict of Speyer decreed, every Anabaptist or rebaptized person of either sex is to be put to death, either by fire or by sword or by some other means. Children were baptized against their parents' wishes. Those who stood by their convictions and refused to submit to the city council were drowned or executed. Among them was the first martyr of the Anabaptists, Felix Manz. Though he had been a friend of Zwingli, Zwingli approved the council's decision to have Manz forcibly drowned in the Lamotte River just a few hundred yards from Zwingli's church. Zwingli is to have remarked, "Why, if he wishes to go under the water, then let him go under." And thus others soon followed the trail to martyrdom.
I am a soldier of the cross. I am a soldier, precious lamb. I will not fear to wound his cross, or flesh to speak his glorious name, or flesh to speak his precious cross. I will not fear to wound his cross, or blush to speak his glorious.
How often we are unwilling to be identified with Christ, even though it may cost us very little. May it be said of all of us that, yes, we are soldiers of the cross, even to the point of death. Thank you, ladies. We're talking about the Anabaptists and a controversy that affects us even today. First of all, they force us to ask, what is the function of the church? Is it to preach the gospel or to enforce Christianity through political structures? I think it's commendable when Christians go into politics. But let us also be quick to say that there is no such thing as a, quote, Christian party as such. Nor should we try to impose distinctly Christian doctrines on society through the political process. Of course, we can oppose such things as abortion, and even receive support from this from non-Christians. But those doctrines regarding Christ and his deity and the cross, those can never be enforced upon people, but must always be voluntarily believed. Some Christian leaders today think we should go back to Old Testament times and unite the church and state under the banner of pure Christianity. If they had it their way, adulterers and homosexuals and murderers would be stoned along with all false prophets. Well, I think that's a mistake, because Jesus taught that we are in the world, but we're not of it. And he said that we are lambs in the midst of wolves. He also said, "My kingdom is not of this world." And when his enemies brought him a coin, hoping to trap him, asking whether it was lawful to pay tribute to Caesar or not, he said, "Render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, and to God that which is God's." Loyalty to Caesar is one thing, loyalty to God is another, and sometimes those two spheres must be kept distinct. So let's remember that we need to be clear about Caesar and Christ, between politics and religion. You see, in countries such as the United States, we can say of a man, he is a great Christian and a citizen. But throughout 2,000 years of church history, great Christians have often not been great citizens, because when their commitment to Christ conflicted with their commitment to Caesar, they chose Christ. That's why so many heroes of the faith were lawbreakers. They simply would not succumb to the teachings of state-sponsored religion, regardless of the cost. Whether it is the Anabaptists in Europe or people like John Bunyan in England, they stood firm in opposition to official, quote, Christendom, end of quote. Finally, I think this controversy reminds us that no ritual can save anyone. Infant baptism surely cannot, nor can adult baptism. Unfortunately, even the Reformers were sometimes a bit unclear about the true meaning of baptism. I believe that the New Testament teaches that it is a sign rather than reality. It is not a special means of grace, and it certainly is not the way to salvation. But we need to be grateful that thousands have gone before us, standing for the purity of the gospel, even amid the vicious onslaught of religious traditions. And only when we are clear regarding the gospel can we expect to preach a message that can actually save people, can save those who believe.
Come all Christians, be committed to the service of the Lord. Make your lives for Him more fitted. Tune your hearts with one accord. Come into His courts with gladness, each His sacred vows renew. Turn away from sin and sadness, be transformed with life anew. God's command to love each other is required of every man. Showing mercy to a brother mirrors His redemptive plan. In compassion He has given of His love that is divine. Forgiven, joy and peace are fully thine. Come in praise and adoration, all who on Christ's name believe. Worship Him with consecration, grace and love.
Most of us aren't called upon to stand for our faith the way Michael Sattler was. He, along with many others, is privileged to wear the martyr's crown in heaven. Tonight we've learned lessons about the distinction between church and state, and lessons about faithfulness even unto death. Pastor Erwin Lutzer has brought us the second in an 8-part series on Reformation and Revival, a look at church history since the time of Luther. We encourage each Songs in the Night listener to tune in for each exciting chapter in the story of God's work in the world. We'll hear about men like John Calvin and learn about the Great Awakenings throughout recent history. All 8 of these studies have been compiled into a booklet called God, Do It Again. And this booklet is our gift to you when you write to Songs in the Night. Our address is simply Songs in the Night, Moody Church, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. When you write, be sure to give us your name and address and mention this station's call letters. Also available are 8 of Pastor Lutzer's full-length sermons on cassette. These messages trace the history of Reformation and Revival up to the present time. When you write, we'll rush information on the cost of this beautiful tape album. We thank the many of you who support Songs in the Night, as this makes it possible to keep this teaching ministry coming in the months ahead. Our address once again is Songs in the Night, Moody Church, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Music tonight came to us from the King's Carolers, Myrna White, Joanna Hedinga, and Marcia Twaddell. Glenn Jorian is our soloist, along with John Innes at the keyboards. This is Ted Seeley thanking each one of you for tuning in. Now, with some closing thoughts, here once again is our pastor at the Moody Church, Dr. Erwin Lutzer.
I can't help but keep thinking about those who have given their lives defending the truth of God. Most of their names are not known by us, but God knows who they are and will reward them. In a moment, we're going to pray together and ask the Holy Spirit to give us the strength to stand firm for His Word.
Now, dear Lord, as we pray, take our hearts and minds far away from the press of the world all around, to Thy throne where grace doth abound.
And our Father, we do pray that as we have looked at the lives of just a few who are willing to give themselves for the cause of the gospel, make us faithful to talk to that person across the street, faithful to stand up in our school boards and wherever you have planted us, that we might be identified with truth, your truth, no matter the cost. Develop that in us, we pray. In the blessed name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Songs in the night, songs in the night. The Lord giveth songs in the night.